the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. The London Knights are the number one team in the OHL right now, and they've got a good shot at claiming the OHL title once again. So today I'm talking with London Free Press sports reporter Ryan Pyatt about the totally weird OHL trade deadline and maybe what's to come for the London Knights for the rest of the season. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, Rachel. Yeah, it's nice to have a normal conversation about a weird happenings in the OHL.
Weird happenings. I know you said it was totally weird, and we're going to get to that in a couple minutes. But since we haven't talked in a while, let's just kind of get up caught up here on the podcast of what's been going on with the Knights, how they've been doing. A few of the Knights players were at the World Juniors, of course, but then the Knights still had a pretty good run without them. So just kind of catch us up from, you know, the World Juniors to now. What's been going on?
Well, yeah, so the Knights had five players at the World Juniors, which is incredible. Three on Canada and two on Finland. And obviously the Canadians turned out to be a bummer. You know, we got the inklings when they lost to Latvia in a shootout, and nobody scored in the shootout in eight rounds, that this was a problem. And they lost the Czechs like they did last year. So you got to feel for guys like Oliver Bonk and Easton Cowan, who went 2 years in a row and never played for a medal. They lost in the quarterfinals, both to the, it was like a broken record, right? They lost to the Czechs two in a row. And obviously Oliver Bonk's from Ottawa, so he wanted to have a great showing there in front of his family. And, you know, Easton Cowan was, you could see early in the, he played great in the pre-tournament games, and everyone's like, here's our number one guy, right? And they kind of built the team around him. And then he only got 3 points. And, you know, took a penalty, he got a puck giveaway, and, you know, obviously, you know, a tough tournament for Easton, as he admitted, but still a great player, still the Leafs, you know, number one prospect. That doesn't change anything. Right. And then, you know, so the two Finnish kids, Kasper Holtonen and Jesse Nurmi, end up with a silver medal. You know, after they lost to Canada 4-0 out of the gate, you know, I remember talking to them, and they said, well, nobody thought anything of us. And that's the funny part of the tournament, right? We've seen, I remember going with the Hunters to Czechia in 2020, and they lost 6-0 to Russia. And everyone's like, oh my God, this is the wrong team. And then they came back and beat Russia for the gold medal. So it's becoming one of those tournaments where you don't just, you know, we as Canadians, we hope they can pick the right guys and run through the table and win all the games and blow everybody out. But you know, that's few and far between anymore, happening anymore, as we see. But, you know, I'm sure they'll be back next year contending again. I don't think anybody has any, you know, problems that this is going to be like Americans are going to win every year and Canada's going to not medal for the next 10 years. I'd probably put some money down that they'll win a medal next year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the team that was left, the Knights team that was left without their, you know, the guys that were gone to the World Juniors, they still played very well without those strong guys, right?
Every year, right? This goes back to the way the team's coached, the way the team's run, and the depth of the organization. And, you know, they bring up guys from Junior B, they let the young guys play, and they went 7-1-1. And you're like, okay, well, they beat Sarnia and a few teams that are kind of at the bottom, but they actually had a stretch there where they beat Windsor and Kitchener, all the best teams in the Western Conference. And, you know, you can get just kind of see the way the deadline played out, that like Windsor's kind of built for next year, Kitchener's built for 2 years from now. And they said, we're not going to, if we can't beat these guys when they don't have five all-star players here, then we're not beating these guys this year. So I think what that 7-1-1 during the break when they're missing all those World Junior guys did was tell the other contenders in the Western Conference, I don't think so this year. So obviously London emerged from that as the favorite and a better team because those young guys got, you know, I think of Noah Reid, and then you go Will Nickel, Evan Van Gorp. Sam O'Reilly went up to a number one. He showed what he's going to do next year. You know, when he's the main man, right? When Cowan and Barkey and all those guys move on, you know, we got as London observers, we got a glimpse of you know what the future is going to be like here, and it still looks pretty good.
Yeah. You had a story about Easton Cowan just after the World Juniors leaving social media. I just wanted to briefly touch on that because it's a, you know, social media is such a big part of their lives. Well, all of us, but these kids, right? And they, you know, they all have to, they all kind of get a little hated on if they play badly or whatever. But talk about why Cowan left, what he said about that, and maybe just like what all of these kids are dealing with, you know, as high profile people in the community.
Well, first of all, as we know, there's no privacy anymore. When you engage in social media, you give up your privacy, right? We've learned that over the years. And you know, as much as there's the positive dopamine that comes from a nice tweet or a congratulatory tweet, there's the other side of things. And you know, it's not like the kids are the only ones that deal with it. We've seen people lose jobs for dumb tweets, and we've seen like a bunch of fighting and all that. You know, I have a good a fun, I would call it, Twitter exchange with Mike Farwell in Kitchener, who does the Rangers games, and we go back and forth. And people, you know, is this real? Is this wrestling? Is this real? They always say to me. So, you know, I think a good debate is kind of helpful. But yeah, you see the kids, and obviously, what I think Easton's learned is, you know, when you're a Toronto Maple Leaf draft pick, it's different than being like, say, a Carolina Hurricanes first round pick or Anaheim Ducks first round pick. You're getting a little more hate right off the bat because of the team that owns your rights right now. And then the fact that, you know, they had a bad World Juniors, and they went home early. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I think, you know, what Easton realized and what he said, I thought he articulated it very well, was he's like, why would I listen to people that I don't put my faith into? Like, if I want to get better, he says, I know I got to get better and be a better hockey player to succeed in my career. But he says, why would I listen to a bunch of people that are just yelling at me when you know? And you got to understand that these kids, like, they yell at themselves. They get, you know, the people around them are talking to them, or sometimes, you know, putting if their head gets too big, they try to shrink it, right? Like, they, you know, this is a normal way of life. It's for any, you know, parent and kid and all that. And these guys are surrounded by a lot of guys, I think, a lot of people that are there to help them. And I think that's who they really listen to, right? And you know, he's a bright kid, and he loves to play hockey, and he thought that this became the social media became, you know, looking at negativity and that sort of thing was not helping him. So, you know, he's going to ignore it. And you know, I think a lot of us, you know, it's a good lesson for a lot of us. I see a lot of people online that probably should log off. And you know, obviously, it's very addictive, right? And
Sure. It's
you
very
know, obviously,
mature. It's a very mature decision for him to do
yeah.
that.
But he's missing out on that part of, you know, if you just ditch it and you're not on it, then there's a little bit of missing. But maybe, you know, maybe it's the right decision for everybody, and he'll have a better life for like looking out at the world and not worrying about what people are saying. And you hate to say it, but in their basements, or like, how many of these people would say that to his face, right? I always wondered about that. Like, what they're saying online, would they say it to their face? I'm not sure they would.
And do they have as much hockey experience as even he does, right? So are they in a position to be
Yeah,
giving
but
advice?
you know what? Like Dale Hunter said, Canadians have passion for hockey and they want to win, right? It's not just about loving the game. We want to be the best at the game. And that's, you see that on all kinds of, if you ever follow the World Cup in soccer or whatever, like, you know, when the countries start playing, like, oh my God, you know, some of the stuff you see, right? But, you know, that's something you got to deal with. And you know, I think he's going to log off. I bet you know, he may reconsider that at some point, but right now it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, just to lay off. All right, let's get into the trade deadline because you did say this one was a weird one, totally weird. Why was this year's trade deadline totally weird, just in general around the league?
Well, first off, it was one of these trade deadlines where you couldn't really pinpoint, you know, who was there. There was a bunch of people that like kind of curved at the last minute and swerved and said, oh, we're going to do this or that. And then I think the prices got really high, so that scared people off. And it was, you know, I think it was an underwhelming one. But at the same time, if you look at the brass tacks, the final total, there was a bunch of trades for, you know, guys that went for the 8-9 draft picks. And what I kind of sat back and thought was, So some people's made moves, the usual moves that you'd see. But I think what happened was some teams got into situations, and I'll use Kingston as the example. When you're rebuilding for a couple of years, and then you have all these draft picks built up, because remember they traded Shane Wright a couple of years ago to Windsor and got like a bunch of draft picks. Well, you only have so you can only build up. It's like a bad NHL team. You can only build up so many draft picks before you got to get rid of them, because you can't draft all these guys and then have like 70 guys sitting around. You have to trade these assets that you accumulated when you made previous trades. So I think some teams just said like a couple like bit pieces on Saginaw, good players, but not like what would you call superstars, went for like 8 or 9 draft picks. And I was like, well, that's kind of crazy. But if you look at it, that you can only have so many draft picks in the cupboard, right, before you got to spend them. And I think like a team like Kingston, which was, you know, they're a good team, but are they like in the London class of London or even like Barrie? I don't know. And then so in the East, you had Niagara, who just kind of jumped up to the top of the Eastern Conference, and they didn't do anything. Like, they didn't make any trades, which is I kind of think that's good, because for the last 3 years everybody wanted out of Niagara, and they were kind of remaking their organization, and now they're at a place where, you know, a few of the kids want to be there. So they had made like a million trades, so it was kind of nice to see them at the deadline not make a bunch of trades. And
Yeah, just
you know,
chill out for a bit.
you had teams. Brampton's and was in now Brampton's a team that I think, you know, could do a lot of damage in the playoffs and might move up the rankings here. Really, really good roster, but they hadn't put together the results in the first half, but they just decided to add guys anyway. So
Okay.
that's, you don't often see like a seventh place team adding a bunch of guys, right? It's usually the top two or three teams, the ones that established themselves as heavyweights, going for it. Now in the West, it was funny because London had made the Cam Allen trade in December and then didn't do anything the rest of the time. And they said, well, we've kind of added, you know, Blake Montgomery and Donny Phimmis along the way.
Right.
You know, I brought in Austin Elliott from Saskatoon as a waiver claim.
Okay.
So, you know, you know, they had made their moves. And then with that London start, where they've only lost 6 or 7 games all year, is scared off, you know, Windsor and Kitchener from doing anything really for this year. Most of their moves are for down the road kind of moves, and then nobody else did anything. So really, it was usually you see at a trade deadline two or three teams say we're going for it and we're gonna take on the other team, and then it makes for
Yeah.
some great matchups down the stretch when those teams do meet. But this year it was more kind of like a grab bag, a hodgepodge, and then everybody in the West saying, well, it looks like London's gonna win this year with all their guys back, and we're not gonna really challenge them. And we'll see what happens there. But obviously, London's the favorite in the West, and then we'll see if any of these Eastern teams can kind of, get them if they get to the finals, kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you think this is one of the best London Knights teams that we've seen in a while or ever?
Yeah, I think it's one of the best teams. Could go down in history as like maybe the second best team. I don't think they'll eclipse the 2005 team. 2016 team, you know, what it's going to determine what they do in the playoffs. But they have, when they got Kasper Halten and Easton Kallen back, that kind of set the course from this season. Like, no, nobody expected all these guys, all these great players who were part of the Memorial Cup run to the final last year, to come back, and they pretty much all came back. Jacob Julian came back, and you know, they were adding guys as if, you know, they weren't going to have these guys back, and then they all came back, and so now they have an embarrassment of riches on the team, and you can see why they didn't do a ton at the deadline. But I'll tell you, Cam Allen has been impressive since he came from Guelph on the blue line, and looks like just another, you know, they added a world junior caliber player onto the blue line, and then you got
Yeah.
Bonk and Dickinson and Woolley back there. You know, it's going to be hard to beat these guys.
Right. And they kept their overagers are still there, so they got, they got a lot of big guys. They got a lot of great star
Yeah,
players.
Landon Sims is going to score goals and go to the net and be pesky. And you know, Julian's a great passer. The power play should be, you know, probably historic like last year's. We'll see if they can get it up to 30% success rate here in the second half. You know, I think I think there's a lot to look forward to as a London Knights fan, and it's going to be great hockey to watch. And I feel like, if you get a chance to watch the team, if you can grab some tickets somewhere, that it's probably worth it, because you're going to see, probably 10 or 11 guys that'll play in the NHL off this group.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's look ahead. The Knights seem very content with their current roster now. Do you think we're going to win the OHL title again?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Right.
Now, Oshawa, after last year, they got bombed in the finals by London. They made some moves that they wanted to, especially early in the year, that they want to be there. And I think Barrie Colts have a good roster. But I mean, London's got, no one can match London's five World Junior players, 13 NHL draft picks. The goalies have been playing great. You never know what there is out west and in the east, but I think London's the favorite to win the OHL title. That goes without saying. They're obviously the number one team in the country right now, in the CHL. And then if they get past that, then we'll see. I mean, when you finish second and you got most of the guys back, and you lose the Memorial Cup final, like, that's the only goal is to get back there and win that game, which is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
The team's under a lot of pressure, but they've handled it well so far. And the 19 game winning streak early in the year, that sets you up for success. And I don't think they're going to lose a ton of games. They'll lose a game here and there, and we'll all be shocked that they lost. But they'll be well set up for a long playoff run again this
And
year.
going to the Memorial Cup, do you think we're in a better spot, obviously, this year?
I think the fact that they played in it, if you all remember the game from last year, they basically didn't look like themselves the first half of the game. They had one shot through half the game, and then they started playing in the third period. They started playing, and they almost won the game, right? By playing like one period, and everyone was shocked by what happened. And they do want to have a do-over, but those aren't easy, right? Getting to two Memorial Cups in a row is a special thing, and it's never a guarantee. But this London Knights team, like, if Barkey gets hurt, Callan gets hurt, some guys get hurt, they still have the depth to get there anyway. So, which is, I don't remember too much of that. Maybe the 05 team, but you kind of hope that nothing happens to guys. Even last year, they withstood a bunch of suspensions. You think of Sim and Caleb Lawrence getting, big five game suspensions and all that didn't matter, right? They just kept rolling on.
Who do you think are, because it seems like a lot of the other teams in the OHL, they made trades, but they kind of understand that London's still the best. Do we have any big contender, big rivalries, other teams we should watch for?
Well, you know what?
It's
I'd
doing
like
really
to
well.
see, yeah, like Saginaw, obviously they're not going to go for it this year, but they still have Zane Parayk and Michael Mussa, and there's a chance that they could play London in the second round. Like, they're hovering around fourth place kind of thing, fourth, fifth place. So I would love to see that, because I remember how hard fought the series was last year. I want to see Barrie and Oshawa on the other side. I want to see, Brampton, Kingston, because that'll be two teams that made a bunch of moves, and one of them might get knocked out in the first round, which would be, the stakes will be very high, like right off the bat, which we don't often see in the OHL playoffs. It's usually just teams pounding other teams in four games or five games, and that's it, right? You get the odd seven game series and hardly ever an upset, but once in a while. And I think Kitchener and Windsor, I'll be watching them to see if they take the step to where they should, be a really strong team for the next couple of years. Like, Windsor should be awesome next year, and we'll see. But if they lose in the first or second round, that doesn't really help the program. They want to get to the conference final against London and build that kind of pedigree for next year kind of thing. So I'll be kind of watching that. But I mean, if I was to guess now, I would say London Barrie final, just like in 2013. And that was a great final when Bo Horvat scored with under a second left, right? Everybody remembers in the game seven. And that was a great series. And hopefully it's a great series, because honestly, covering the OHL final last year wasn't that much fun, other than game three, which was a classic. But that was the overtime win. Henry Brustewicz, went after the Knights came from like 6-2 down, but the other games were all like 9-1, 8-1, 8-1. So, and I'll never
Not as
forget
exciting.
I'll never forget after game four when the Knights swept, the Oshawa announcers like, well, thanks for a great season, everybody, and see you next year. And then like they turned all the music off. There was no We Are the Champions or, it's like the lights went out and everyone, the London
Oh.
Knights are standing on the ice with the lights out and all that. That was kind of
Hopefully
funny.
it's more exciting this year. We got more
Yeah.
exciting playoff fun.
Maybe five, six games, seven
Yeah.
games. That'd be nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ryan. I know we covered a lot today, but we'll watch your stories for sure at lfpress.com because I know you'll have tons more from the Knights and what's going on to the OHL final and then of course Memorial Cup. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.